Governor Chris Sununu joining us live. Good morning, New Hampshire, GMI Studios. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning. No, there's, boy, if you can find the ice. I mean, there's a lot of ice out right now. So I'd love to see some ice. Get the bob houses out there, but been a little warm.
That's exactly what Fishing Captain Eastman said. They'd love to see the ice and more snow. Governor, let's talk a little bit about the homeless situation. I know you've sent a letter to mayors talking about what the state's doing to help. We saw this problem in Manchester in this encampment. It seems to be getting worse in the state's largest city. They started to break that up yesterday in downtown Manchester. What's your message to mayors, Governor?
Well, it's not a message to mayors, per se. I mean, look, they wrote a letter to me, and they said, hey, we'd like to see a couple of these things. Do you have some options? And some of them were viable. We have a facility in Manchester called the Terrell House that we're not using, so we passed a contract releasing that back to the city for their use, making sure they understand where all the money is, right? You know, when they talk about resources, you know, we've put up $20 million to keep 1,300 people in hotel rooms in their communities, not in Manchester, in their communities, to you know, push back on the homeless issue across the state. They have a lot of ARPA funds. They have a lot of federal money that has come in. They have their own surpluses. So there's a lot of cash sitting in a lot of these cities, and we're just telling them, you got to put that, you know, to use. And we also have individuals. I don't think a lot of the – sometimes the city leaders don't realize we have state – folks from the state on the ground working day to day, you know, not just with the homeless shelters themselves, but with the homeless community, right? We talk to these people and try to get them the services. The big issue isn't an issue of poverty per se. It's as much as it is an issue of mental health and addiction and those types of things. So 9 out of 10 folks that we come in contact with need some other type of service. So that's really where the barrier is. And so we can't force people into those services. You know, we can't, you know, just put someone in handcuffs and say, you're in drug treatment. So we're trying to make sure there's as many doors of opportunity. So the letter isn't a pushback as much as here's all the things that we're doing. Here's the opportunities you guys have. And again, it has to be a partnership approach to address the crisis.
Constructive approach. Thank you. You brought up mental health, and too often they go hand in hand with addiction. I talk about it almost daily on the show. How are we doing overall, not just in Manchester statewide, if a younger person, if someone's having a mental health episode or needs, do we have enough services or facilities, or is that an ongoing challenge, is never enough?
Well, it's a never enough challenge, right? And the key there is you don't just throw more money at it, because right now it's more of a staffing issue than anything, right? Mm-hmm. So New Hampshire Hospital, for example, has empty beds in it. Well, why? Because it's so hard to find psychiatric nurses or the social workers that you need to provide those types of resources. So that's probably where the biggest barrier to that challenge is. On any given day, we could have 20 people waiting for an emergency room bed. Now, they're not waiting months and months or whatever it was that it was happening years ago. We've really fixed that problem. They're getting their due process. Sometimes it could be a day or so. It used to be close to 100 people on a daily basis waiting for mental health services. Now it's more like 20. So we've made huge strides there, but one is too many, right? And now we just purchased the new mental health hospital specifically for children in Hampstead. We brought in outside providers, which is really great. There was this whole thing where, I mean, it was a bit of a protect the fiefdom where folks didn't want outside providers to come in to provide services. And I vehemently disagree with that. We're bringing in the best and the brightest from all across New England and the East Coast who want to be here to help us. And so that's kind of opening that door. And then we doubled the size of the nursing facility and the number of folks that are getting social work degrees out of UNH. So we're trying to create our own workforce at the same time. So all these are great things, but it's not a single thing that just solves the problem. You know, people say, why don't you just fix it? Well, it's not about that. It's, you know, the individuals themselves have to be part of that solution. They have to want the treatment or want the services, especially when you're talking about the homeless population.
Governor Chris Sununu, good morning, New Hampshire. GMI Studios. Governor, I'll switch gears to Washington just for a moment. The debt ceiling debate is heating up today. You hear it in the news. My only question is, in New Hampshire, as governor and the legislature, you have to balance budgets. You have to live within your means. We're in a budget season. I just thought it was interesting yesterday, right out of the Biden White House, before we get into what's going to happen, and I'm not trying to debate, should we, inevitably going to have to raise the debt ceiling because of the debt. I get that. We have obligations. I get that, too. But right out of the White House yesterday, we'll have no agreement if it involves federal spending cuts. How come you have to live within your means in New Hampshire, but the federal government doesn't seem? You're telling me we can't afford any federal cuts in the budget after the trillions of dollars that have been spent?
It's unbelievable. It's just, it's management at its worst. There is no greater responsibility in public service than managing other people's money, and they have no sense of that in D.C. And I'll blame Republicans as much as Democrats. They have very little sense that managing other people's money and the responsibility around that is very serious. And so, look, what I would do, I'd say, okay, here's a balanced budget in my left hand, and here's raising the debt ceiling in my right. All right, that's the compromise. We'll raise the debt ceiling today because we have to do that, but we're all going to agree on a balanced budget amendment. No one has the gumption or the will to do that. A lot of folks are kind of doing the grandstanding. Even on the Republican side, these folks say, well, we're not going to raise the debt ceiling unless. But are they coming with a plan, Jack? No. Yeah. No. A lot of these guys are full of it. They're not coming with a balanced budget in their back pocket. They're not coming with the ideas to get us back on track. They're just being obstinate. Well, I'm a big believer. You should fight to manage debt control, of course. I'm the biggest fiscal hawk there is. But you got to come with another solution for the long term, and that's balancing a budget and getting us back where we need to be. So that's my biggest frustration, is that there's a lot of talk, not a lot of solutions. Right. We'll see where it all goes. I really don't know. I mean, I'm not 100% sure here, but I think they'll end up raising the ceiling. But I think the White House knows that they will probably be able to get enough Republicans to concede on that without them having to concede anything in return. And that's not good. That's not healthy government.
Governor, first in the nation presidential primary. We know the Democrats nationally don't want New Hampshire to go first. Republicans are respecting our primary here. You've talked about it. You talked about it in your inaugural address, the importance of it. Give us an update. How concerned are we going to have this first in the nation presidential primary be as robust and significant and relevant?
I'm sure. Oh, no, ours is going to be robust and significant and relevant. There's no question about that. The Democrats are floundering nationally because first they were going to make a decision last August, then they delayed it after the election. Then Biden got involved and tried to take it to South Carolina, where we all know he's the incumbent, and so they probably won't even hold a primary for him. They have the choice not to do that, and they've done that in the past. They have very, very low voter turnout. They want more diversity in the vote, but what point is that if no one actually goes out and votes? Mm-hmm. Right? It's so backwards. You have Iowa trying to get in the mix. Nevada is still counting votes from November. Their system is a complete mess. New Hampshire gets it right every time. So I think they're realizing this. They've delayed it one more month. They asked me for a letter, and I sent my letter. I was pretty firm with where I stood on it. They've delayed their decision another month, and it'll be interesting to see whether – I mean, I think they're delaying because they know they've screwed this up. I think they're delaying because they know the domino effect of bad things that are going to happen if they do what Biden wants. One way or another, Republicans will have their stuff here. If nobody were to challenge Joe Biden, then yes, I could see no one campaigning here. But you cannot tell me no one is going to challenge Joe Biden. Of course someone is going to challenge Joe Biden, and they're going to do it right here in New Hampshire.
You open that door. I'm going to let you – the last thing I want to ask you on the primary and Joe Biden. I don't want to get into the Trump search on Palm Beach and the documents or Hillary Clinton's email server with secret documents, but this whole story with Joe Biden, the garage, the house, the private office.
The Corvette.
I'm tired of hearing about the Corvette. You never talk about your vehicles. Real quickly, Governor, you're partially on the national stage. You ever get the feeling that the Democrats don't want Biden to run? Because this has been a goofy, clumsy process of this Biden document story. Do you think that's crazy or not?
No, you're spot on. I think this is some of the initial first steps. So some of these, I'll say, left-wing elites that have no respect for Joe Biden, by the way, that never wanted to see him in the White House in the first place, the door is open, the crack is there, and they're going to exploit it. And there's no doubt about that. And so that's why I firmly believe there will be other challengers. It'll happen here in New Hampshire, whether they like it or not. So I think there will be. I don't know who it is, whether it's Buttigieg or Kamala. There'll have to be a bit of a revolt within that administration. But you cannot tell me that the left-wing elite of Washington is going, well, we've put up with 2 years of this, now we're going to put up with six more. No way. No, they do not respect that guy. They ain't going to let it happen. One way or another, there's going to be a robust primary on the Democrat side, and it's going to land right here in New Hampshire.
Well, thank you, Governor. Do you notice, by the way, are you proud of me? I did not ask you how seriously you're thinking about a possible run for president in 2024.
Well, that's just a waste of airtime. Look, we're having a conversation. It's a waste of airtime. You know, let's talk about fun stuff.
Governor, make it a great Thursday.
Thank you, buddy. Be good.
Thank you, Governor Chris Sununu, live Good Morning Hampshire GMI Studios.